This is Sad Pod Live, where stay-at-home dads talk about their happy, sad lives. And this is going live on April 20th, 2016.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, folks, welcome to Sad Pod Live. I am your host, Curtis Webster. I am a father of three beautiful young ladies, all under the age of 8. I am a part-time work-from-home dad, and I am in the IT sales field and full-time husband, married to a phenomenal physician for almost 11 years. Man, how time flies, especially on my birthday. As I think back over the years, it is amazing how fast time flies. This episode of Sad Pod Live, we will explore the similarities and the subtle differences of the lives of stay-at-home dads who also have the honor and privilege of being married to doctors. So let's meet our cast. On here today, we're going to have Craig Levine. We're going to have Alan Kimbrough, Manuel Nardi. We're going to have Nicholas Feigel and Todd Mitchell, and then also our roving reporter, who will make a few special reports from a Canadian doctor's convention, Brett Roberts. All right, Craig, how about I have you go ahead and say hello?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing this evening?
All right, nice, nice. Alan, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, you're doing fantastic, buddy. Manuel, you over there?
Hola. No, actually, hi. I just wanted to say hi. You know, inside joke for the people that know.
Hola or ciao, yes. Whatever comes first.
Oh, ciao is better, but, you know, I'll adapt.
Nice.
Call me Miguel. Call me Miguel for tonight.
And Nick, we have you.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Nick and Todd.
Hey, guys. Happy birthday, Curtis.
Hey, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, happy birthday, Curtis. Sorry.
It is all right.
I forgot. Your gift at home.
Oh man, yeah, you just send it through the nice little internet stream so I can get it. Mm-hmm. Well, hey folks, the folks listening to us online, if you want to know more about why we're all here, definitely visit us on our website, which is www.sadpod.com, and that's sadpod, sahdpod.com. And also, if you are a dad married to a doctor and you want to join our vibrant community of almost 2,000 what we call DMDs, definitely find us on Facebook and do a search for Dads Married to Doctors. All right. Now, before we jump in too much, hey, Craig, were you able to pull up that information about the definition of at-home dads?
I have it right here. An at-home dad is any father who is the regular primary caregiver of his children, usually while his partner works outside the home as the family's main breadwinner, also called a stay-at-home dad, or SAD, or work-at-home dad, or WAD.
Or what?
There you go.
Nice. And so tonight,
when you say DMD, I keep thinking of ACDC.
Yes, yes.
And just as really fun here, it goes on. It says, in general, he cooks, cleans, cares for children most days of the week, while his partner works outside the home and his family breadwinner, because many at-home dads also provide some income to the family, whether by working an evening or weekend shift, full-time, part-time, blah, blah, blah. I just like the cook, cleaning, and cares for his kids part.
Nice.
It's like they're in my house watching me.
There's always something to do. Well, awesome. Well, hey, folks, I'm actually going to interrupt us for a moment. We have a live report from our roving reporter, Brett Roberts. Everybody hang tight for just a moment.
This is Brett Roberts doing a special report in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It is hot, real hot. It's so hot, the baby seals are clubbing themselves outside. I'm living the life of a daddy married to a doctor. We are at a convention in Toronto, and I'm stuck in a little tiny hotel room eating McDonald's while trying to keep a 3-year-old occupied and an 18-month napping. And let me tell you, the life of a doctor's husband is this glamorous 24/7.
All right, folks, we are back. Brett, that was phenomenal. So Brett just told us a little bit about himself. Now let's start with Craig. Hey, Craig, if you can introduce yourself, tell us how long you've been married, how many kids, and if you do anything in addition to primarily raising the kids.
Well, let's see. I'm married since 2003, about 13 years. I am a father of three children, boys that are 8 and 9, second and third graders, and a two-year-old little girl. My wife's in family practice, works for a VA clinic, and I am a realtor, and loving it. I feel like I get the best of everything.
Nice. Craig, maybe you can answer this question for me. Why is it a realtor and not just a realtor? Is that just a Southern thing?
I think when I'm on these sad pods, I speak slowly at risk of speaking way too fast. So I think it's just my trying to speak clearly.
Sounds cool.
That is pretty cool.
Maybe it sounds better.
Nice.
Yeah, realtor. Like it's not an ER, it's OR.
You're right. So you're a realtor.
I give tours.
Nice.
You guys will like this. My wife's friend, one of her very, very close friends, always says to her, "Really, he has an appointment? You think he has an appointment at 7 o'clock at night? Like you really think he's working?"
No, man.
Of course you're working.
Right. That's right. It's always working. And Manuel, while you're there, go ahead and do the same thing. Let us know how long you've been married, how many kids, and if you do anything in addition to raising the kids.
So hello, everybody, once again, and happy birthday once again. So Manuel comes from Italy. He has married a beautiful woman officially 4 years ago. Unofficially, we've been together about 16 years. And nice. I did snag her in junior college, so, you know, like rob that cradle type thing. We have a beautiful two-year-old daughter, and I have been a stay-at-home dad full-time for a year, and then I now do have my own business. I do drive for Uber, which is an experience per se. A whole different thing.
Nice.
If I had to tell you the stories for cash flow, and I also do some photography and restaurant consulting.
Fantastic. Well, awesome. So staying busy, right?
I try to stay busy. You know, it's when you had a career, actually two different careers for, you know, the past 20 years or whatever after college and whatnot, then you just kind of have to do something, even if you're a dad and you're already doing something.
That's right. That's right. I understand that. Well, hey, Alan, let's jump over to you, and same thing, same question to you.
I've been a stay-at-home dad for, I guess, approximately 19 months since my oldest daughter's born, and we have another one on the way.
Nice.
I primarily stay at home.
Yeah, congrats, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Primarily stay at home, and right now I am assisting my contractor in getting the house remodeled. So that's kind of been a part-time job in its own right. But but mostly I stay at home, and so we can have a stable schedule in the house, which I think we all can relate to. That's kind of why a lot of us are stay at home, or we are the primary caregivers, is to try to keep a stable schedule.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, especially being married to busy doctors where the schedule can be completely crazy. You know, my wife works in the ER, so even with her having set shifts and no, you know, she doesn't have a beeper or a pager, she doesn't have to be on call. But sometimes, you know, what's supposed to be a 9-hour shift can turn into a 12-hour shift. You know, EMS shows up and she's walking out the door and she has to go back in. So I totally understand that being there to provide that stability.
Yeah, she's a trauma surgeon. So,
oh yeah,
24-hour calls, and there's a lot of night calls and those type of things where she'll be 24 hours gone or 12 hours gone, or I should say 14 hours because it's 5 to 7 for the night shift. So it's crazy, but it's good. I have a really sweet little girl, but the next one's probably going to have my genes and will probably be a little hellion. So, you know.
Right. Awesome. Well, hey, Nick, let me send it over to you. How long have you been married? How many kids? And do you do anything outside of the home?
Yeah, I've been married for about 5.5 years now. I met my wonderful wife, 6 months before we got married, basically. We got married in October of 2010. Basically right at the beginning of her residency, all the way through fellowship and into her first job. She's a general surgeon. I have a 22-month-old son, and I have a daughter due in July. So one is going to become two, and I'm kind of nervous about that. I'm a stay-at-home dad. I've been doing that since almost 2 years now. I work part-time in IT, so I can do some things from home, so my mind doesn't turn into jello.
Yes.
So I do that usually at night whenever he's sleeping, so it gives me something to do.
Nice. I totally understand that. Well, good stuff. And Todd, we will wrap it up with you.
Yeah, well, I am a work-at-home dad with a 15-month-old.
Nice.
My wife is an internal medicine physician at a major area hospital here in St. Louis. I work part-time as an entertainment journalist, and I primarily focus on the video game industry. And, so that's my jam, and loving life over here.
Nice. That is so awesome. Well, good stuff. Well, hey, guys, we're going to go ahead and jump right on into the first topic. And what we, you know, the thing about it, we're in a unique position. We're the primary caregivers to our kids, you know, and we work to provide stability and structure in the home, like what Alan was talking about earlier, while accommodating the crazy and busy and typically unorthodox schedules of our wives. Now, as a, you know, as doctors, as dads married to doctors, you know, my wife loves it when I call myself a doctor. I say, we're out at a dinner party with friends, and they say, oh, well, what do you do, sir? And I'm like, oh, I'm a doctor too. I'm in IT. I'm a computer doctor. And you can imagine the stares that the other MDs actually will give me.
Well, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. You know, I feel like the Howard Wolowitz of the group.
I'm pretty sure you're also the love doctor, Curtis.
hey, well, you know, depends on what I've been drinking.
You got three daughters. I mean, come on. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm just going to leave it at that.
No, it's all good. But like you said, you know, we wear a number of hats, and we've had some interesting experience. You know, I know this evening the plan is to compare and contrast some of these experiences, and really I want to look at kind of the myths and realities of what it's like, you know, being married to a doctor while also being a work from home or stay at home dad. So let's get this party started. All right, you know, how let's take it all the way back to the beginning, and I'll start with you, Craig. How did you snag that doctor wifey of yours?
I met her at a bar. But it wasn't typical. It happened to be Christmas Eve, and I'm sure someone out there, if not several of you, are familiar with a thing called the matzah ball for Jewish singles on Christmas Eve. And it was elbow to elbow, elbow to elbow. Can I talk? Elbow to elbow. Someone bumped into her. I said, that was rude. Can I buy you a drink? And
nice.
She said, yeah, it was nice. And it pretty quickly, you know, she said she was third year medical school. And I said, well, can I buy your friend a drink too?
That's right. Because you immediately knew what that must have meant with her being a third year med student.
I mean, I was already into her, and I was already quite smitten right off the bat. So, yeah, that was an attractive quality as well. But it could have been a waitress. I always imagined marrying a waitress. Not sure how I got the doctor.
No doubt.
Grandma was happy because she always wanted a doctor in the family.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, let me ask you this, Craig. So you went through the dating phase and all that good stuff, and then eventually, you know, obviously got married. Did you have an idea that life would be like it is currently when you were going through that dating phase? Did you have kind of these preconceived notions of, you know, unlimited money and unlimited time and, you know, all these, what were your myths versus realities with dating compared to, you know, now being married for several years?
Wow. Oh my goodness, guys, 13 years into marriage. I don't know. I thought I'd be married at 25 to a waitress, to be quite honest.
Right.
So I think, you know, think real hard, guys. Think back to when you wooed your women, right? You know, it's a whole different time in life than married with children. And I don't think I think I was just so busy with that. I never imagined it until after we're married and the first one came. I don't know, but three, you've got three, Curtis. I mean, come on. You know, any of us, no difference. One is very busy, but
right.
I think if I can interject here, it's to make a film, TV reference. Before being married, it's like Night at the Roxbury, and after and Married with Children is actually like the show Married with Children.
That's right.
or yes. You know, one of those other family shows with family, isn't it?
Oh man!
Because everything that you could possibly imagine will happen will actually happen.
So, yeah, almost definitely.
Well, I like Phil Dunphy.
Exactly.
The realtor, in Modern Family.
Modern Family.
Relate to him. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And, I've been called Phil.
I've been called Phil, too. I have to be honest. The dynamic between my wife and I, it's very, you know, A personality, pseudo B personality. And so she calls me Phil.
Nice. That's awesome.
I'm not a realtor or realtor or realtor.
Realtor. But
I try to keep Uber-er. It real. I'm an Uberer.
You're an Uberer. I would like to Uber. We'll have to talk about that.
That's right.
I my wife thinks I'm crazy, but
you could write a book, honestly.
No, I
well,
bet.
That's what I'm thinking. I bet you I could find a real, you know, real estate clients.
You could. You could find. Smart. I mean. We can, this is a topic for another.
That's right. Yeah. That'll be on the next live show.
We'll stay at home dads who Uber.
But I'll
stay at home dads that try to get out of the house.
Mail me in private. We'll talk about it.
Hey, yeah. Manuel, while you're on the line, how did you snag that doctor wife of yours?
So I did mention I robbed the cradle, and
that's right.
She was legal. I didn't do anything wrong. Nice. You know,
legal in which country?
In this country, illegal, you know, since there is a lot of, so we met in junior college, basically, and the funny serendipitous type thing was that I was in theater. I was a theater major in college, and we met actually at the fitness center of the college where I worked at the front desk, and she was a student taking a class / working out. And we got talking, and I guess my accent at the time did some of the work for me. And then she was like, I love theater. I'm taking classes. I'm like, oh, I take classes too. Oh, I seen this play. There was this one guy with this really good Spanish accent. I'm not Spanish. To make long story short, I was like, oh, that was me. But the funny thing is, the accent I actually had in the play was my accent. It was like a pseudo Italian / Spanish, you know. I sounded like Antonio Banderas, like this. And so she thought
nice.
So long story short, junior college and then college at UCLA.
Nice.
And then med school, and now she's finishing up residency. She's a dermatologist or dermatologist.
Right.
Not sure the pronunciation. And that's the story in a few words.
Nice. Well, awesome. Well, Alan, how about you? How did you snag that wife of yours?
We actually met on eHarmony. I was a massage therapist at the time, and I was living in Jackson, Mississippi. She was doing her fellowship in New Orleans. So I got to get on after she had done the residency and fellowship. So I guess sometimes I hear of war stories about residency and fellowship, and I feel like I kind of got off easy, but the having the kid, fixing to have two, that I think that makes up for a lot. But we met on eHarmony, met online, and had a date. And
nice. Yeah,
her dad actually met me on, and it was the day after Mardi Gras in New Orleans. So it was kind of crazy.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Tell me how much knowing how to be a masseuse helped.
I think it probably helped.
masseusing.
Nah, I'm telling you, I'm seeing a trend here.
Yeah.
It's the sad thing is that I haven't given her a proper massage in like probably a couple of years, mostly because we've been in an apartment. We've been in an apartment. Just, the table is just too big, and it's just there's not enough room to have it out. So
it's marriage.
Yeah, it's marriage.
It's marriage. Well, you got to say if you can't. Yeah. What would you, you know, maybe if Valentine's Day down the road, it'll be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. When we have more room than.
That's right.
You know, have more room that we can actually, I can actually set something up and not run into all the toys and chairs and other crap.
Aren't you going to be cutting it close with this house and the second kid?
Yeah. We just got told our cabinets are going to be done in end of May. So that's going to be crazy.
Wow. Oh, wow. And just in time for Mother's Day.
August 5th. Yeah. August 5th is when the baby's due. So
oh, wow.
Close.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they say 90 days from cabinets. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cutting down the trees and everything else.
Yes, exactly.
So Nick, how did you snag the lucky lady?
Well, basically, our dating was pretty interesting, you know, trying to schedule things out, cancellations all the time, things like that. But we basically met through a friend that I worked with in Pittsburgh. He managed the Pittsburgh Beer Society, which is basically a group of people get together at a local bar, try new beers. So that's where I met her. And I'm pretty much an introvert, so I was really a shy person, so it was hard for me to actually talk to people. But for some reason, I just started talking to her, and later she's like, I didn't think you were ever going to shut up, you know, half the time when we were out on dates or something like that. So I'm glad she stuck with it, even though she thought I talked too much.
Oh, wow. Nice. And Todd, how about you?
All right, so let me take you back here. When I very first laid eyes on my wife, I was about 12 and she was about 15, and we were both attending a youth group at a church. So, you know, I was just this young kid who had a crush on this really attractive girl at the youth group. It never even occurred to me to talk to her. I was just, you know, she had better things going on. So we both got older than youth group age, went off to school, went off to do our different things. She actually left the area to go to med school. So we both go through a string of pretty horrible relationships, and I notice her on Facebook, and I shoot her a message. Hey, you know, how's it going? Great to talk to you again. She says she's going to be moving back to the area. So we stay in close contact, and she gets back to the area. We finally go on our first date, and I kind of set up a group thing to hopefully make her feel comfortable.
Right.
Introduce her to some friends in this area, things like that. And her and I both showed up first at the restaurant. And a couple of minutes after we sat down, I just kind of got out my phone and texted my friends to cancel. I said, just don't worry about it, guys.
Oh, nice.
So the rest was history. We had a very short time dating before I proposed to her. And the rest is history. It's been just a dream.
Oh, man, look at you, Mr. Smooth Operator over there with the cancellation of the friends.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I'm under the weather.
My wife did the same thing to me for the first date. She was like, maybe we should all go out to a movie in a group. And I said, sure. And then she was like, everybody else canceled. But I didn't know that there was no group.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I was like,
there never was a group.
I was like, of course there is no group.
That's great. Todd's over there like, hey, we're going to go out with 12 of my friends, and then all 12 of them are sick with the same flu, right?
It's an outbreak. Sorry about that. Yeah.
It is an outbreak if it's more than three. Yeah. Nice. So just tell the wife. there was an epidemic.
We had misreported, you know, a flu virus to the physician. That's okay. That's all right.
We had to call the CDC. Exactly. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, hey, fellas, I have I actually have Brett on the line with another on-the-spot interview. So everybody hold on. Let's go over to Brett's.
This is a special report from Brett Roberts for the Dads Married to Doctors. We've now found a interview subject who's willing to speak to us about having a spouse or mother as a doctor. Could you tell us what you think about this, Miss Mia?
Pretty.
Can you tell me, do you like your mom being a doctor?
Yes.
What do you like about it?
I like being a doctor.
Do you want to be a doctor like your mom?
Yes.
And what kind of people do you want to look after when you get big?
Stay-at-home dad.
You're going to look after stay-at-home dads? Yeah. Sounds good. Maybe a future new profession or subspecialty right there. Probably in the psychology world, I would believe. But we may have the first psychology major for the stay-at-home dads right here in Mia Roberts.
Oh, that was so cute, little Mia wanting to be a doctor to stay at home dads. I tell you, these little kids. Hey, fellas, let me ask you this. You know, now that we are, you know, our wife is in medicine. How has that affected what your kids want to do when they grow up? Hey, is your wife pushing your kids towards jumping into medicine? Is she saying avoid it like the plague? And I'll just let whoever wants to jump in and answer that.
The joke at our house is that the kid has already spent 9 months in surgical residency, and so we're on, you know, kid two. So that's the only influence I can say. I have no idea if Lila at 19 months wants to go into being a doctor or not. But yeah,
nice.
I don't know. My boys that are eight, you know, 9 and almost 10, they just, their job's to go to school and get as much time on electronics as possible. But, you know, I tell them they can do anything. They're just not allowed to be lawyers.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah. Sorry. Just the truth there.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I think it's written in the stars for my son, actually, because my wife was pregnant with him when she took the board exam. So he's already passed the boards.
That's awesome. There you go. Hey, now.
He will sometimes run out of his nursery down the hall and into her office, and we'll find him playing with the Harrison's internal medicine desk reference, like the way other kids would be looking at, like, green eggs and ham.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, for right now, you know, he's 15 months old. I think for right now, he still wants to grow up to be like a dinosaur or a fire truck or something. But I don't know if he's going to avoid med school by the time it's done.
Oh, man. I tell you, it's funny because, you know, my wife tells the kids, you might not want to look at medicine, but then they sit there and they're watching Doc McStuffins all the time, and they have the little lab coat, and they're walking around with their own little bags. And so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
My daughter is two, so she wants to be a princess at the moment. Although I have to say, when she does watch Doc McStuffins, and she's like, doctor, and the wife will ask, do you want to be a doctor? And she's like, yeah. But the funny thing is that because my wife has six siblings, that she's actually inspired some of her siblings to follow. So one of the brothers is trying to get into medical school, and she has a 14-year-old sister that is saying that she wants to be a doctor, to which my wife says, why would you want to do that to yourself,
Ben? Oh, man.
But hey, she's their role model, so you have to respect that.
No, exactly. And let me ask you this, while we're talking about, you know, obviously the doctors at home and that field, let me ask you about the myth of the in-home doctor. You know, I've heard the wife and the ladies on the Physician Mommy group over at PMG talking about the myth of the man cold and how we overplay when we get, you know, some sickness or when the kids get something. So let me throw this out to you guys. Your kids get sick, you get sick. Does wifey run in to treat you with the same level of care that she does with her patients at work, or is it, take some time and you'll be all right?
Well, we don't really get any of the in-home medical treatment too often. Usually, we try not to discuss too much in this area because it's like, you know, for me, I'm in IT. I like to help family and friends, but if they ask you for help on everything and anything computer related, sometimes that can irritate you.
Right.
So it's one of those things, you do it all day. You try to take a break. So we try to do that. But given that she's a surgeon, I don't think I'd like it if I come home and she has somebody's taking somebody's appendix out on the kitchen table or something like that. I'm just going to say, I'm not cleaning that up.
Yes. It's like the commercial where the plumber puts the thing on the kitchen table.
Oh, yeah.
The Lysol commercial.
Butter knife or something.
Yeah. Oh,
boy. Oh, man.
I personally don't want to hear the stories. I don't want to know where her hands have been. Don't want to know.
that's
yeah. And
so, so know, Craig.
Do you guys, do your wives give you the whole stories of the day? And I'm lucky I get spared of it, or what?
I hear, see all kind of stuff. I mean, you know, no HIPAA violations, you know.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Of course.
That's a funny thing. That's right. Because I'm kind of squeamish, actually. So we don't necessarily mesh well in that way. But she's really excited to talk about this stuff, and I'm really excited to hear about it. But when we first got together, she had sort of a tendency to kind of poke and prod at me a little bit while she was explaining things. And I've almost run out of the room.
Oh, man.
Just terrified. Yeah. But I do love to hear about the stuff when I can, you know, stomach it.
You know,
I guess, you know, dinner conversation isn't always ideal.
Yeah.
Right.
I tried to be squeamish about these things early on, and she just wouldn't let me. The more and more cases that she took on in the ER, the more and more dinner conversation that came up. We would be around or have friends over that weren't even in the medical field, and that was just so normal dinner conversation that you could see the look on their faces as she's going into more and more gory details about the three-car pileup on the highway and, oh, you should see these guys when they came in and stuff like that. Stuff that we can laugh about.
Well, she must see it. I mean, the ER, I'll tell you, I don't know about you guys, but especially with the question with what you would encourage your kids, you know, would you encourage them to be doctors? I don't know if I would encourage them to be a family practice like my wife is. You know, I don't know if I'd necessarily go surgeons, but I really envy that, you know, rewards that come after, you know, the years have been put in. But I once suggested to the wife to go back and become a radiologist, and she used expletives and told me to go do it myself.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I bet that went over well. Hey, dear, why don't you go and take a fellowship for another 3 years?
Yeah.
I did suggest, I suggested that today because my wife is a doctor. So now listen. So my wife loves being a surgeon, even though she's a dermatologist. And I told her to do a fellowship when time came around for her to do a fellowship. And then we have a friend that is doing a fellowship, or he's actually leading a fellowship or whatever. And he sent her pictures of surgery. And even she was like, I should have done a fellowship. And I'm like, I told you like 3 years ago. But she's like, no, I'm done with this. It was kind of all happening at once. But to answer the original question, which was, do I get any medical treatment? I think the totem pole has me at the lowest level.
Yes.
After every patient that she will see, even if they're like dermatological care, after anybody else in her family that calls with any medical question, which is hilarious. Because hey, my knee hurts. I'm a dermatologist. It's kind of like when I have lawyer friends that have the same problem. Hey, listen, I have this problem. Well, I'm not a divorce lawyer, or I'm not this kind of lawyer, and I practice in Boston, and you live in New York, but that's okay, you know? We're complaining, but we're not really sick. And that's kind of funny because it actually has been proven that men do get sick less often, but it's supposedly more intense. But I digress.
So then on that note, we actually have a quick commercial.
We interrupt this program to bring you our first ever pledge drive. We hope that you're enjoying tonight's SadPod Live program. It is because of listeners like you that we are able to go live, and so we need you to reach deep into your pockets and support us. It's as simple as heading over to our Facebook page and giving us a like, follow us on Twitter, or subscribe to us on iTunes. If you support us in one of these three platforms, we will move you up to our basic membership level. If you support us through two of these platforms, we will up the ante and give you our platinum status. However, if you support us through all of the three platforms, we will make you an officially unrecognized sustaining member. Now, these are pretty remarkable gifts, the kind of things that you show off to your friends while you're out for an adult beverage, or you place above the mantle over your fireplace. Of course, there's no physical gift that we can send you, but golly gosh, you will really make our day. So head over after the show and follow us at sadpod.com because you make us happen. Now, back to our show.
And we are back. All right. So I guess our wives knew we were talking about them with the taking care of us at home, and they cut us off. That's right.
Conspiracy.
They said, you will not talk about us anymore.
Hashtag. Ron tell that.
That's right. TMG is on the loose.
Again, for the initiated.
You think TMG has a whiff?
My wife came and turned off the light. Maybe. I don't know. The truth is out there, and everywhere.
I wanted to take a picture of a sign I saw in Nashville when I was visiting my sister, and it was PMG. And I was like, oh. But it was Physicians Medical Pain Group Pain Medical Group or something. But I was like, no, PMG.
No, that's a front.
That's right.
I have a question, fellas. Sorry. We were talking about how we're treated medically by the doctor wives and how the kids are treated medically. This is a segue question, but for those of you that have daughters, do you feel that as a dad, your daughters are more inclined to be less, not girly per se, but my daughter runs into walls and she's like, I'm fine. Like, she literally, she's like a running back. She's like, I'm fine. I'm okay. Like, and she might cry if I don't give her a doll, but she will go head first into a wall and not complain. So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The girls, the little girls don't cry like the little boys do, for sure. You know? For actual pain.
I'll find out soon enough.
My oldest is tough. And she tries stuff now. She, you know, loud noises and stuff like that scare her. But she's a risk taker, but a cautious risk taker. So it's kind of strange. She's very, very, she's just got that. She's got a lot of her mom, which is awesome.
The girls, right. The girls could take a header, or they could even like get a black eye or need stitches or whatever it is, but they're done crying. And as long as you've been parenting for a little while, you know, it's not like a, oh my gosh, what have you done? And then they're going to cry. It's like, you know, nothing happened. and you right. just wait and see if there's blood.
that's right. You wait for the blood.
Which is, you know, we're dads staying home, which is what we are going to do as dads staying home is going to be like, get up and walk. It's going to be fine unless that's you have right. a broken leg or you're bleeding. And right. the wives are doctor, which are like, get up, you're fine because you're not bleeding and you don't have a broken leg. So it's kind of like I wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one.
I don't know, man. My wife will she's awesome with me and my son if something's wrong, but she will hide her own sickness. We will find out long after the fact if she had something wrong with her. I don't know how yes. she does it. I don't know if you guys have
does that too.
They're trained.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. So let me ask.
Trained. Brainwashed.
Let me ask y'all this, because I have had to literally call the call my wife's coworkers to have them tell her it's okay not to go in when she literally couldn't even get up off the couch. She was still trying to go into work. Do y'all have the same, you know?
Brainwashed.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? I mean, if you're a doctor and you call out sick, it's kind of like, hey, I'm sick. Oh, okay, come down. Come see us. You know what I mean? And if yeah. you go, oh, no, I'm fine. Okay, then come down and work. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't win for losing. Yeah,
if they go in sick, it's, you know, you're thinking they might make your patient sick or something. So
right.
Hey, who knows? It's kind of all over the
right.
place.
If there's something minor and you're not, you don't believe you're contagious, right. you know, some will go in with a mask, you know, and they'll do oh, go about true. Their business. Yeah. But if there's any real risk, of course, they would not endanger their patients, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. That's
absolutely
right.
Not.
On the live internet, they would never go into work sick and endanger the safety of their patients ever.
No, mine was more like a joke, because if you do work at the hospital, how'd you call out sick? Right? If you're sick, come in, we'll take a look at you.
That's right.
If you're not sick, come out and work. No problem.
Right. That's right. So hey, fellas, let's switch gears for a little bit. Let me ask you this, because I know I mentioned earlier when I'm out at you know, social gatherings, and you always have that awkward moment where everybody goes around and they say, well, what do you do? What do you do? So let me throw this out there. Maybe how about we throw it out to Todd? How about you know, how has it been for you with social gatherings with the Dr. Wifey?
My goodness, it's such a good question. I should start by saying that I love the friends of my wife that I've met. They're super established people. They're great to talk to. But when they get in a group, I think we all know that the discussion gets very technical.
Yes. Yes, the doctor speak.
Yeah.
Yes, very doctor speak. A couple of things I like to do is if they're happy to include me in a conversation, but they will not wait up for me. So if I hear them talking about very, very technical things, somebody will mention ABG, which of course is an arterial blood gas. I'll make up something on the fly for it. I'll say, oh, ABG. No, you know, that's an antibacterial butt glove. I understand. So that's been popular once in a while. There was one story especially where we were at an engagement party for a doctor I like very much. She had this outdoor dinner party. Lovely St. Louis area home. Place is a mansion, looks like a museum. Awesome. So we're there. I'm awkwardly drinking, because I know a lot of you guys do this.
Yes.
I got a drink in my hand. They're talking. I'm sipping.
That's right.
I find myself late in the night. Whoops, I got kind of drunk, you know. So when the conversation turns to me, you know, Todd, what do you do? I'm a computer guy. It's kind of boring. Don't worry about it. Hey, I'm going to go pet this cat over here. And I kid you not, I get up and I follow this cat around the table, and I'm, and they're like, hey man, I don't know if that's a good idea. No, it's cool. You guys, I'm gonna pet this cat. And I do, I pet the cat. I pick it up. I think it was a stray, actually. the moral of that story, be careful on the social drinking with the doctor folks. Other than that, they're awesome. What do you guys have?
That's nice. Great.
Alan, do you
have a few guy friends that just get drunk with me at the conferences or at the things, you know, that she's known through school and residency. How about you guys?
I don't know. I end up trying to ask a bunch of questions, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and sometimes I'll ask them if they've heard of such and such treatment or something. I don't know. I just gotta, you know, it's when stuff is interesting that comes up, it's kind of hard not to ask about it if they've heard about it. I don't know. Massage therapist is not like the most, you don't get the most medical experience, but you do have anatomy down pretty good. So I can follow a lot of stuff until they start talking about medications and all that. But I'll know like what area they're talking about or stuff like that. But It definitely can get into the weeds pretty fast, but I don't have any.
You guys are married to surgeons. They must really like to talk about it. You don't partner up with the guys and just go ignore the women?
Well, it definitely all depends. it depends on. But there was, we went to a, there's a LSU football game we go to once a year with all her, she was the chief of her residency class. And so all the residents get together in that class, get together, go to an LSU football game. And I end up just talking to the wives and talking about kids.
Yes. Yes. Over there at the
game. And so it's kind of weird in that way, but I mean, I like it because, I mean, my daughter's one of my favorite subjects, and I'm sure, you know, second daughter will be the same way. So
That's so true. And actually, guys, let me kind of go sideways a little bit with this question, because you just brought up a great point. Half the time when we're out at social gatherings, my wife will go off and start talking with, you know, typically mostly they're mostly only male doctors there. So yeah, I'm now off over at the bar with all these guys' wives, and we're all chatting about kids and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I know sometimes we have the exact same experience, you know, at the playground, or, you know, there's all these mommy and me classes or everybody wants to have these play dates, but a lot of times we're maybe the only guy there. Have any of you had that kind of interaction? Is that kind of your common thing as well?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, we could always have the ladies, yeah.
Yes. Dude, I go to a boxing gym with almost strictly mothers. It's a funny thing.
Nice.
Well, that brings up something else. I mean, like some of us, I don't know about, some of us have moved around because of our wife. Like I started in Pittsburgh, so, you know, you meet people and then you're moving somewhere else.
Yes.
So, I mean, being a stay-at-home dad, it's sometimes hard to find social groups, especially in, like, newer locations. For example, I was in Pittsburgh, then I was in Texas, now I'm in Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, wow.
So that's one of my struggles now, is just trying to, you know, connect with other people or groups or things like that to just kind of meet people.
Uber.
Yeah, there
you
go.
Yeah.
I might try that, though. I was thinking about that.
It takes 18 months to establish in a new place, you know, get to know it comfortably or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was a stupid realtor stat. Ignore me.
No, that's right. The realtor information. So awesome. Well, hey, guys, I want to – we actually have another live report coming from Mr. Brett Roberts. So let's switch over to Brett real quickly, and then we will come back.
Hello, this is Juan. I'm reporting for the Dad's Married to Doctors group. Dad's Married to Doctors, great life choice. You get everything, the house, the car, the money, and no time with the wife. What else could a man ask for?
All right, folks, we are back. So as Brett was just talking about, yes, you know, you have the myth of the of being married to a doctor, and you have the money and the cars and all those things that aren't always true, because people never want to include the doctor's loans and the student loans and all the other debt that comes along with that. So let's talk about that a little bit. We don't get a lot of time, you know, with our wives because of their crazy schedules. So what are some of those other myths that you think maybe the public has about being married to a doctor that aren't maybe the most true, like the time aspect or money aspect? And Craig, you want to jump in first?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, the first, not all doctors are paid the same, and some have crazy schedules, some have less. But, you know, perception is king. I maybe I'm not exactly the best here because, I don't know. Hit it, Todd.
I mean, everybody thinks they know the physician career. We all think we understand it a lot better than we do. Mm-hmm. When my wife and I got together, we were so excited just to be in this great relationship. I mean, the honeymoon has never ended, even though we didn't have time to actually go on one. it all kind of hits you afterwards when things settle in. You know, I got with my wife during residency. We found time to date. We found time to have fun with friends, hang out. We still went through the stuff where, like, this rotation's overnight every single night for a month. Like, well, okay, we do what we have to do. People think the salary is amazing. I didn't even ask my wife about it for quite some time. I assumed it was a lot more than I made. I found out that it was not at the time.
But, right.
You know, now I'm in, you know, semi-retirement. She's killing it out there. We're doing very well. We're so lucky to have the situation we have where Mine carried us some of the way. Hers is carrying everything now. But people do think it's a lot easier than it is, and they think that they think they all could do it, and man, I could never do it. That's the big one. I think yes. A lot of us know that
yeah,
most
right.
people do not have what it takes.
Right. I will tell you, you're exactly right. I didn't realize the level of, you know, the level of strength that it would take. You know, we were just kind of joking about our wives, being willing to go to work sick. And yes, a lot of that is that indoctrination that comes through med school and residency. But at the same time, it's amazing what they're able to endure for 8, 9, 10, 24 hours with the craziness of the patients, and then turn around dealing with the administration.
No sleep.
Yeah, no sleep. It is pretty impressive. So you're exactly right. So let me kind of take it into this, and we'll wrap up here since we're in our last 10 minutes. You know, we know we have these crazy lives that we have married into, and obviously our goal is to make it the best that it can be. Obviously, we're all, at least I'm assuming, we're all in here for the long haul. At least I know I am. And so
just don't buy a coffee table.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's right. So let me
have one inside joke.
Let me ask. Let me ask you guys. With the crazy schedules, with all the different things going on, with the kids, you know, with us, you know, some of us being completely stay at home, or some of us working from home, or having outside careers. How do you keep the candle burning? How do you? What are some tips and tricks that you have that you use to, make that time with the wife, make that time so that the whole family could be together? Are there any kind of little tips and tricks that you employ? For instance, I'll jump off here. I know I have gotten very, very good at creating a babysitter list. I can find a babysitter like nobody's business. I, my wife and I were literally, we were out at a restaurant, and the waitress was talking with my girls, and she was interacting with them, you know, making faces and stuff. And I was like, hey, do you babysit? and so that's something that has helped us a ton, because I have folks that I literally can call kind of last minute that can come in and help us out. And do y'all have any tips or tricks that you found to help kind of keep that candle burning?
We're still young and hot, man. It's no problem over here. It's true, man. You got to do things for one another. Make sure the other person's getting that rest. When you get a weekend off or a few days off, we have taken trips which were like one town over, because grandma's got the baby. We're gonna go hang out. We're gonna eat at restaurants all day. We're gonna catch a movie. We're gonna talk the entire time. That stuff is so crucial. So, I mean, even if you don't have the budget or the time for a huge trip, get out together, reconnect. It's all about that stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
Also, gentlemen, if you have forgotten, just do the dishes.
Doing the dishes are magic.
Hey, it worked for some people. I'm not even talking about myself. I'm saying I do them all the time, and there is no dishes, no play, and it don't matter. But I'm saying the rumor was in the ether. The initiated will know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Is that if you do the dishes, they will come.
Yes.
One thing I was going to say.
In general, he cooks, cleans, and cares. It cooks, cleans. I imagine that includes dishes.
Exactly. And Nick,
I don't know. Doesn't say laundry.
Nick, were you about to add something?
I just don't fold it. That's the problem I have is I do all the laundry, but I leave it in the dryer. And that's
the worst part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody folds laundry, right? I mean, come on.
Well,
I do. I do. I like to watch Anthony Bourdain fold laundry.
You probably iron too.
I do not. There's no iron going on here. No, but like the rule at my house growing up, and it'll be the rule, I'll wash and clean and whatever, but you got to put it up. And that still is kind of the rule, at least here. For my wife, I'll fold all her stuff, but a lot of times in my stuff, it still ends up in the laundry basket in the room, and it scrubs.
I don't fold towels. Does anyone fold towels? Like
I do.
Why?
I do, because I hear.
I have a clean bin and a dirty bin. I just throw them in the clean bin.
Oh, you go like a resort style. Resort style.
I have to fold stuff in this apartment, or I go crazy.
One thing I was going to say about, as far as keeping your wife in contact with what you're doing as far as activities with your children to kind of make sure that she's part of it as well, is I try to record everything. I send pictures to her,
yes,
activities throughout the day. So there are little surprises of the munchkins. And some of the activities, she can't be there. So at least I can play them back, or, you know, she'll be able to watch them. Like Easter, she wasn't able to be there. I recorded the whole day, basically, and she watched every little piece that my son walked around, hid eggs, picked them all out, and she loved that.
That could be double-sided. I mean,
that's amazing.
I haven't done that lately, but sometimes that's makes her feel more guilt. But
right.
It's always better to do it than not.
Or you can get the, why did you let her do that?
Nick, that's a great point. And, you know, I've noticed because, you know, friends will come to me and say, dude, you're always on Facebook. But I noticed that with my wife being, like you said, having the crazy schedule, I put a lot of stuff up on Facebook as well as a lot of the recordings and the pictures because I know she loves that. And it helps her feel more involved.
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, you feel like roommates or something.
No, that's great.
That's 13 years of marriage.
Yes. That's awesome. Well, fellas, I think those are definitely some great tips. Does anybody have anything else they want to throw in these last 30 seconds before we wrap up?
Oh, I want to say happy birthday, Curtis, and thanks.
Yeah, happy birthday, man.
That's right. I will tell you this. Curtis will be doing no dishes tonight. I might do a few. We'll see.
It's your birthday. You earned it. It's your birthday.
Oh, man. Well, fantastic. Well, fellas, I definitely appreciate you all being here. On the show tonight, we had Craig. We had Manuel. We had Alan.
Hola.
That's right. Holla. No, hola. We had Alan. We had Nick. And we had Todd. Thank you all so much. For joining us this evening. We also had Brett joining us from a doctor's conference in Canada. So,
special report with Brett Roberts.
Yes, yes. And so just wanted to let you good folks out there on the internet know that you can find us. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and on iTunes. Our handle is SadPod. So you can find us all over the interwebs. I also want to thank Micah and me for the use of Super Daddy Fun Day. And with that, I want to let everybody know to have a Super Daddy Fun Day. Thank you all so much. It's just another